Expressions from St. Paul is made possible by your faithful prayers and contributions. Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 46 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., our morning worshiping experience begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. Our guest speaker this week hails from the St. Paul Baptist Church in Oxnard, California, Reverend Dr. Broderick Huggins. He titles his message, The Law of Vindication.
We are vindicated, beloved, when we wait. I don't care how high your hopes may be. I don't care how complicated your circumstance may be. I don't care if you are seen as a victim or a villain. You may be stuck right in between a rock and a hard place at your wit's end corner. Don't know which way is up. But if you just wait on the Lord and be of good courage, He will strengthen your heart. Is there anybody here who knows that there is a blessing in waiting? And that if you wait on God, He will vindicate you.
If you have your Bible or whatever you use to view your Bible, like your phone or your tablet, let's journey together to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 24 down through 28. We'd like to thank you for joining us this morning. We are now going to transition into the auditorium and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
Come on and give God a hand of praise, everybody, if you know that God is. Amen. Amen. What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord one more time. We honor the presence of God, and I am hippopotamus glad and elephant happy to have gotten a call from the Godfather. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. At the end of the day, Dr. Ephraim Williams is the Godfather. Would you give our beloved pastor, the Godfather, a great big hand of love and appreciation, affirmation of your appreciation for the work that he has done here at the St. Paul Church in Sacramento. Come on, y'all. Aren't you glad to have a pastor that you can celebrate and don't have to tolerate? Amen. I am so grateful for this invitation. And I've been married now for almost 6 years. January will be 6 years. Praise the Lord. And I've been talking about St. Paul for 6 years, and I wanted you all to meet my wife, Tony. Would you stand? Amen. Amen. This is my wife, Tony. Amen. Amen. The apple of my eye and the sugar in my coffee and all of the other metaphors that preachers use when they talk about their wives. Amen. But it's a joy to have her with me. Do a lot of traveling, and she's not always able to come, and so it's a blessing to have her with me on today. Yes, now, not going to be before you long. We've had a wonderful Bible lesson message from our own Sister Kennedy. Amen. And so I'm not going to be before you long. I've learned that you don't have to be eternal to be effective.
Right, sir. Right. Right,
so,
sir.
Do like Elizabeth Taylor said to her seventh husband, I won't keep you long.
Elizabeth Taylor said.
Amen. goes, look at somebody and tell them, if you don't have a sense of humor, you have no sense at all. God knows that's the truth. Amen.
All right, amen. Now.
From the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 24. Romans chapter 8.
Yes, sir.
Verse 24. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't have it, say I'm still turning. All right. It's on page 785. Amen. It's so good to see so many friends in the audience. I'm not going to mention everyone, but I'm so grateful, especially to see Sister Shirley. I think I saw you. Amen. Shelton. Oh, she had to slip out. Amen. Anyway, I want to shout out to her. She was my pastor's anniversary chairperson when I pastored the Union Baptist Church. And so you never forget people who helped you when you were struggling. Amen. Romans 8:24. If you have a say, amen. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, your rendering may say weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Yes, sir.
And we know that all things work together for good.
Yes, sir.
For those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk for a few minutes this morning about the law of vindication. The law of vindication. The concept of vindication suggests that one has been accused. He's innocent, but he's been accused. He's not guilty, but the perception is that he is guilty. And vindication simply suggests that the wrongly accused has been made free and guiltless because the evidence suggests that he's innocent. The book of Romans is actually a legal document. It is a legal document because Satan, the accuser of the brethren, lifts our sins before God and suggests to God that we are guilty. But Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world, suggests that we're vindicated because he shed his blood on Calvary. What we must understand, my brothers and sisters, is that what we saw on Calvary was simply a reenactment of what had already transpired and had already occurred before the foundation of the world. Because every Sunday morning we celebrate and we applaud and give honor and praise and worship to the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. We are accused. The book lets us know that we are all sinners. The Bible lets us know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we are indeed in need of vindication. Vindication suggests to all of us that at some point in our lives, in the flow of circumstances and in the matrix of life, all of us have been perceived as either a victim or a villain. Care who you are. At some point, at some season in your life, somebody sees you as either a victim or a villain. Mm-hmm. And the only process by which you can be vindicated as a victim or a villain is through the process of time. The book lets us know that in the book of Romans, that we are sinners, which makes us villains. We all go through a season of suffering, which makes most of us victims. And God, through his infinite wisdom and mercy and grace, has given us a process right here in this particular book to set us free from the tyranny of suffering and to give us vindication for the venom of sin. That's why we celebrate. That's why we honor God, because he is the ultimate vindicator. Chapter 1 says we're in need of vindication because all of us stand in need of God's reckoning of our sins, because the gospel has been given to both the Jews and the Greeks, because all of us need vindication. There is something called an affirmative action clause attached to chapter 1, because he says the Jews need vindication and the Gentiles need vindication, because both the Jews and the vindication, both the Jews and the Greeks see God and perceive God in a different way. The Jews see God in terms of him being a verb, but the Gentiles or the Greeks saw God in terms of him being a noun. And so whether you see God one way or you see him as another way or in another manner, God gives vindication to all of us, because God is not just one faceted. He is multifaceted, and he can vindicate you wherever you are. The Jews saw him as a verb. The Gentiles or the Greeks saw him as a noun, but God said, I'm neither a verb or a noun. I'm both verb and noun. I got it all covered. I'm a verb because I do what I do, and I'm a noun because I am who I am. I'm a noun because I'm a way maker, but I'm a verb because I keep on making a way. I'm a noun because I am in charge. And I'm a verb because I keep everything under control. He is a God of the Greeks and the Jews. So everybody needs vindication. Chapter 2 says that the Jews need vindication because they've been given the law of God and have refused to obey. Chapter 3 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Chapter 4 says, if you're going to be vindicated, you got to be vindicated the same way Abraham was vindicated, because his faith was counted for righteousness. Chapter 5 says we all need vindication because we all need justification. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God and have access into his grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And if you are a victim, he says, then not only so, but we glory in tribulation, for tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Chapter 5, chapter 6 says, you're not going to be vindicated, presumed presuming upon the grace of God, thinking that God is going to forgive you every time you do something you feel like you're big enough to do, and you can do whatever you want to do. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Can't nobody tell you who to. He says if you think you can do everything you want to do because God's grace is available, you are dead wrong. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Says God forbid. How we then that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Chapter 7 suggests that if you think you're going to be vindicated by keeping the law, again, you're wrong. I tried to keep the law. I tried to dot every I and cross every T. I tried to walk the chalk line. I tried to be puritanical and pharisaic and all of the I's dotted and all of the T's crossed. I tried to be perfect, but every time I tried to be perfect, I became a miserable failure. The good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, I found myself doing. The times that I tried to do right, evil was always present. Then it goes on to say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But it goes on to say, but I thank God that he has delivered me from the body of sin and death, and there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In chapter 8, we see clarity. We see the pristine process by which God vindicates us. Chapter 1 through 8, he shares with us the process of vindication. Chapters 9, 10, and 11, he gives us the historical perspective of our vindication. Chapters 12 through 16, he gives us the practical application of our vindication. But I love chapter 8 because chapter 8 captures the nitty-gritty. The holistic concept of how we are vindicated. Anybody interested in what I'm talking about? Yeah. See, first of all, I almost feel like hollering right now when I think about where he's brought me from and the stuff that I got myself into. And the things that God has delivered me from. Sometimes I can cry when I think about how deep in I was and how God, through his geodistic mercy, pulled me out of the horrors of sin and the dismal dungeons of destruction that I found myself into. I'm not here because of the tenets of meritocracy, but I'm here because of the amazing grace of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Chapter 8 gives us the process by which he justifies us, vindicates us. Chapter 8 says, first of all, we're vindicated because of his sovereignty. I'm grateful for the sovereignty of God because he chooses to save who he wants to save. He delivers who he chooses to deliver. I'm glad that I'm not God. And I'm glad that some of y'all ain't God. Because there are some people that I would never in my life even fathom giving vindication. Some folk are so evil and low down and dirty and filthy and heartless that they need to go to hell if they don't go but for 5 minutes. They need to at least smell the smoke. I wish I had a witness in here. But God is merciful. He's sovereign. He can save who he wants to save. As a matter of fact, somebody ought to get happy right now because he saved you. Look beyond your thoughts and saw you. He's sovereign. But not only is he sovereign, he's also a vindicator of those of us who are his sons. Somebody help me say, I'm his son or daughter. Because there is grace given to the children of God. Lord have mercy. That would never be accessible to those who are outside of the fringes of relationship. The Bible lets us know that we are the sons of God. And when he says we're the sons of God, he says we are led by God. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you dare not receive the spirit of bondage again into fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bears the witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. My son got in trouble one time, amen, and you know, there were many people that wanted me. I said, no, 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 no. You can throw your son up the river. And are y'all out there? You can sell your daughter to the authorities, but that's my son. And I have grace for my son that you perhaps may not have. And I'm grateful to know that I am a son of God, because you would leave me out hanging to die. You would leave me to the authorities, but my God loves me with an everlasting love, and I am his son, and it doth not yet appear what I will be, but when he shall appear, I'm going to be like him. I will see him as he is. I'm vindicated because of his sovereignty. I'm vindicated because of my sonship, but I'm also vindicated. Although I may be a victim, I'm also vindicated because of my suffering. He says, watch what he says here. He says, you're my child and I see you suffering, but I'm not going to let you suffer long. He said, because the suffering of this present time, not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Aren't you glad that even when you suffer, God knows how much you can bear? Lord, have mercy. I never shall forget, a little over four years ago, my son was killed by the Alameda County Sheriff in Oakland, California. My only son, my heart, shot him 13 times while sitting in his car. It was a classic case. Before there was Trayvon Martin, before there were Bland and all of the others that policemen have killed in the spirit of racism and presumption. My son in Oakland, California, on the 30th of March, was shot 13 times by the Alameda County Sheriff, and I'm still waiting for vindication. But the moment I heard of the news, it was on Easter Sunday morning in 2013. I learned of the incident and his death between the 8 o'clock and the 11 o'clock service. And I could not tell the congregation, 400 people waiting to hear a word, and I could not disrupt Easter Sunday morning because of my suffering or because of my pain. I had to swallow it. I had to hold it. I had to preach through it. And I had to deal with it internally until I gave the good news of the resurrection of Christ. And it let me know that if he suffered on Friday, that I can at least hold off for 40 minutes and deal with my own sense of victimization. And I'm here to tell you that if you see that God is able, and you know that God is able to hold you up even when you're being a victim of suffering, somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Because the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. We are vindicated in suffering. We're vindicated as a son. We're vindicated because of his sovereignty, but we're also vindicated in our sin. Hallelujah. Notice the text. Verse 24 suggests that even though we're sinners and we're saved by grace, verse 24 says we're saved by this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Let me give you this first point, and then I may not get past this, but I'm going to try to drive this home. We are vindicated, beloved, when we wait. I don't care how high your hopes may be. I don't care how complicated your circumstance may be. I don't care if you are seen as a victim or a villain. You may be stuck right in between a rock and a hard place, at your wit's end corner. Don't know which way is up. You don't know if you're going to be able to kill nothing or see something die. But if you just wait on the Lord. Is there anybody here that's ever been in a situation that no matter how you tried to explain it, no matter how you tried to frame it, no matter how you tried to explain it away, somebody was going to see you wrong? It don't matter. You can write letters, get on the phone, talk to 100 people, but some of those people that you called are going to still see you wrong. You can give all the evidence. You can show all of the explanations on paper about why you're innocent. If somebody don't like you, they don't like you, and they're going to see you as a villain. But I am a living witness that if you just wait on the Lord and be of good courage, he will strengthen your heart. Is there anybody here knows that there is a blessing in waiting? And that if you wait on God, he will vindicate you. Lord, have mercy, because the question, watch this, the question of how long is much more agonizing than the question of why. Because you and I can handle anything if it don't last too long. Do I have a witness in here? The pain of surgery is not too great that healing won't come in a few weeks. It's not so bad waiting through the night when you know that the morning star will appear on time. It's not so bad being broke on Wednesday when you know that payday is coming on Friday. And it's not so bad being crucified on Friday when you know that Easter Sunday morning is right around the corner. Do I have a witness in here? But if you wait on him, if you choose to give him your confidence and your trust, the Bible says he may not come when you want him, but he's always. He may not come when you want him to come, but you want him when he comes. Do I have a witness in here? If you wait on him, he'll renew your strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run and not get weary. Walk and not faint. Shall wait on him, somebody. Well, thank you, Jesus. But not only does it talk about waiting, Vindication comes when you have a witness. The book says, in that next verse, he says he has a manner in which he vindicates us through the intercession of the Holy Spirit. Because we have witness, we have weaknesses. And the Bible says he helpeth us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when you are dealing with your weakness, you can be vindicated even in your weakness. Because in your weakness, you have some help. And that help is called the Holy Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Have you ever tried to pray when you were weak? Have you ever tried to pray when you couldn't kill nothing and would nothing die? Have you ever tried to pray when you couldn't seem to get a prayer through and you ran out of words to say? Because you couldn't verbalize it, you couldn't frame it, but the Holy Spirit stepped in and allowed you to just say, Lord, have mercy. Do I have a witness here? When you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit becomes your witness. Lord, have mercy. And every time you go to court, you need to bring a witness along with you. And I'm thankful that when I pray in the courts of the Lord, I have what's called a witness of the Holy Spirit. And when the witness of the Holy Spirit begins to speak for me, he places me right, I'm almost done, he places me right smack dab in the will of God. I'm closing now, but if you want to be vindicated, I dare you to get in the will of God, because there's safety in the will of God. There is vindication in the will of God. There is hope in the will of God. There is sanctification in the will of God. Is there anybody here that knows that if you stay in his will, he will bring you out? I gotta close here, but I'm so glad that all things are working together, and they work together in the will of God. Do I have a witness in here? I gotta close, but a few years ago, I was watching the 49ers play in the Super Bowl, and Kaepernick had a hard time getting out of the red zone into the end zone, and for some reason, they kept pulling him out of the pocket. You football fans know what I'm talking about. That a quarterback stays in the pocket. He has a tackle on the left side, a tackle on the right side, a guard on the left side, a guard on the right side. He has a center in the middle. He has a tight end on the right. He has a halfback on one side and another halfback on the other. And so what happens is that the quarterback, he stays in the pocket. He views the field, and when he finds an open receiver, he can throw that pass and make a touchdown, but he cannot do it if he don't stay in the pocket. Do I have a witness here? All I'm trying to tell you, that if you stay in the pocket, God will give you victory. If you stay in the pocket, God will give you clarity. If you stay in the pocket, God will get you up the field and in the end zone. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here who knows that if you stay in the pocket, God will take care of you? Ah, he will fight your battle. Ah, he will
oh Lord, fire, fire. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, neighbor, stay in the pocket, stay there until he delivers you, stay there until he brings you out, stay there until he lightens your load. Shia! David said, I'm gonna stay in the pocket, cause yea though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. God is with me. Shia!
Before you, we are getting ready to extend an opportunity for those who wish to come to Christ. Ushers, please hold the doors. Unless it's an emergency, please do not walk during the time of the invitation. Please, ma'am, and please, sir. We would then, those who are trying to make a decision, Holy Spirit is moving and working, we would interfere. God is at work at this moment for somebody who needs to know him. Friend, I'm talking about knowing the Almighty God. If you accept him, you're a part of him. Will you today just say yes? Don't watch people, watch yourself in God. Just step out of your seat, your comfort area, and come and say yes to him. While he is speaking to your heart, will you come?
Oh Lord,
will you come?
God,
that's right.
When I in
all, oh yes, will you come today? Will you come? Oh yes, he's speaking. Will you answer him today? Will you come?
I see,
yes,
the storm.
Will you come?
I hear the rolling thunder.
Will you come? Say yesterday.
Display.
Will you come?
Then sing
my
soul.
My
sing your
God to thee.
To thee.
Will you say yes? Will you come?
How great thou art.
Nobody greater than God.
How great the heart.
Will you come?
Then sings my soul.
Ah. Will you come today? Oh, yes.
Insane.